Session number 8226.
Mr. Bonney, Reel 5. From the period on the Somme, you were moved about the Western Front quite a lot. From place to place.
Yeah.
Are there any particular incidents or of stories that stick in your mind from this period?
Well, I remember going up to this, what they called the Ginchy Corner, which was a bad corner to... You got told to look after yourself going up there. And... Anyway, going up this day, I passed the Prince of Wales on the duckboards, and the duckboard behind him was blown up in the sky, and
a close escape then.
Yes, and I remember leaving him and going across, because they had a kind of a soup kitchen up in a trench. And you just helped yourself to a bowl of soup. I don't know who it was that supplied that, but there was nobody there in charge. You just go and help yourself. And from there, I forget where we went from. Well, I think we went down onto the Arras front from there, and. I was in supports with the Major Rakes and the headquarters, and Major Rakes, they were taking turns in looking out over the top, and the Major Rakes, he looked over the top, and he says to the adjutant, I thought you were on lookout, he said to the adjutant. Yeah, but of course the adjutant, he just got his tin helmet over the top, he wasn't. So he said, they're coming over in droves. That was the Germans.
That was the first warning, was it?
Yeah, they were coming over in droves, he said. And he said to me, get back to headquarters, he said, and I want to use some gunfire on the rake front. And so of course I dashed over the top for the to get to this here headquarters, and of course they were firing at me all the time, but I could hear it in my tin helmet going bomb, bomb, bomb in my tin helmet. And
Actually hitting the tin helmet, or just the fire?
Just the sound in your tin helmet. And anyhow, I got across the fields, and I came across a load of people there. Some were sitting up against a tree, dead. And I saw one chap buried up to his waist. And I went over to him, and he said, get out of here as quick as you can, he says. He was the adjutant of the Border Regiment. That was their headquarters. They'd shelled it and killed them all. And anyhow, I got to this here general's headquarters. That was General Lucas. And told him they wanted this gunfire on the west, on the rake front. And anyhow, he got through, and you knew the gunfire was going on to the rake front. And anyhow, he was in a dugout of an old mansion that had been blown down, and in the cellar of that, they dug under and made the headquarters for General.
You'd gone over the top, because it would have taken too long to go down the communication trenches, I presume.
Oh, yes.
And the artillery fire, was it in time to stop the German advance?
Oh, yes, for the time being. And there was a corporal from the Border Regiment wanting to know where his regiment was. And the generals asked me if I'd show him where it was. So Anyhow, we got out on the front of this here dugout, and I was pointing to where the direction where I'd seen his adjutant buried and all that. And anyhow, they was shelling and shelling with, and I said to him, "These shells don't hurt you; they're just noise, you know." Anyhow, we both got blown into the trench, into the dugout. And I heard afterwards he got shell shock and I'd got wounded.
Where were you hit?
Hit in the arm. And somebody dressed it up for me. And
did you realise what had happened? Were you?
No, I never knew I'd been hit. One of the chaps said, "Well, you've had it." You know, they could see.
You were a bit shocked then.
Oh, I don't think you can feel it when you're wounded like that.
So you were with that was the end of your active service, was it?
Really? Yes, yeah.
Were you well treated with the wound? Did you get proper medical care?
Oh well, we had our emergency things, you know. Somebody dressed it with that, and anyhow, we couldn't get out of this dugout because they never left off shelling this here entrance to the dugout. And I remember a gun carriage and some horses dashed by onto on a field, and this gunfire shifted over to them. And another chap and I, we dashed out undercover and then got on a limber, and they took us down to the first aid station.
With what was your opinion of the relative horribleness of or otherwise of the Western Front and Gallipoli? Which did you think was worse? Or were they equally bad?
Well, the conditions were bad on Gallipoli, but I think the Western Front was worse because of the mud and the water, the floods. I mean, all the trenches were flooded. Because I remember going out with the CO, going up to the front line, and he noticed a communication trench was flooded. So he said to me, "Look, that where that shell's dropped over there, that was leading to a German trench." He said, "Get up there and unblock it." And I had to go up there to my waist in water and unblock this here trench with my hands.
So you felt that it was basically that the climate was worse on the Western Front in the sense that it was so wet
and yes.
Cold.
Yes, because I mean, you got floods, you got frost. Chaps used to get frozen up to their waist, and had to get dug out of the frost ground.
What about the actual fighting? Was the fighting more intense at Gallipoli or on the Western Front?
Well, I should say, well, on the Western Front it was more because you were shelled all days on the Western Front. Or bombed, or
did it make a difference that on the Western Front you could get away from the front line right back?
Yes, yes.
Whereas in Gallipoli you
in
couldn't.
Gallipoli you couldn't. You just got, as I say, back to a few hundred yards, I suppose.
But on balance, you preferred your Gallipoli service. Preferred's probably not the right word to your Western Front experience.
Yes, I think so.
Is there anything else you particularly remember about your service?
Well, I remember this night when there was 100 KOSBs detailed to take rations up to the frontline trenches, and the sergeant who was going to take them up was missing. I saw a bombardment going on, so the CO told me to take them up. and I took them up. And, but on a special route, which the CO picked out, and by the time I got there, the shot fired out, and I said, "You silly so-and-sos, we brought your rations up," and well, you could see them firing from the front line there. And when I look around, all the troop KSBs have disappeared, and there's all the sacks of rations on the floor. I got back into a shell hole, and they fired over the top of the shell hole with the machine guns. And then I out into another shell hole, and they put the Vera lights up. And I gradually, from shell hole to shell hole, I got back to where I, the sunken road where I'd been taking them from. Anyhow, the next morning, the colonel of the KOSBs wanted to court-martial me for taking his troops into the German front line. Anyhow, it was all looked over because that wasn't the German front line when I went up there. It was as I was going up there. They came and captured the front of the line.
And you hadn't known?
Eh?
You hadn't known that it had changed hands?
No. And anyhow, the next day, the same 100 KOSBs at night had to go up and rescue the sacks of bread.
Are there any other incidents you particularly remember?
Well, I remember another little... I had to take an officer up to one of the front line places where we had a lot of our dead, and he had to take a burial party out and bury him on the spot. And he said to me, "I don't like this job." He said, "I've never seen a dead body yet." I said to him, "Well, you've got plenty of chance tonight." And
you sound as if you were actually treated almost as an NCO.
Well,
is there any reason you were never promoted back to the corporal?
Well, only because I believe I told you how the CO told me about deserting and going over. Well, he said to me, "Do you want your stripes back?" So I said, "No, I was better off as I was," which I was, because I used to, out of the line, I was a kind of orderly to the quartermaster sergeant, the regimental quartermaster sergeant, and I used to have a bike, of course, and run down to the lines, take the chits for the rations for the week or so. You know, if 50 got killed, there was 50 less rations and all that.
And you preferred this sort of duty to being a corporal in charge of a section?
Oh, yes. Yes, well, I never did all these here rough duties, and treated very well.
What happened to you when you got back to the United Kingdom with your...
Well, I think we landed at Dover for a start off, and they said, anybody come from London? Right, London. You lined up on for the hospital train, and when you got on the train, you were treated on there by, you know, the medical staff. And the London, those were all finished up in Aberdeen, up in Scotland.
Do you know why they did that?
I suppose to keep you away from London, where you live. Anyhow, I think I had about 3 weeks in a hospital in Aberdeen, and then went up to a place called Navarra, up in North Scotland, into a big private house, a big mansion affair. And then from there, came down and joined the Northern Command at Prescott, Liverpool. When I got there, a chap had been there for some time, and he said to me, "This is a terrible place. Whatever you do, don't give anybody your name." All right. He said, "Once you get on somebody's books, you've had it." Anyhow, I went, had a medical for a start off, and he said, "What are you doing?" The doctor said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I've been sent here." So he says, he said, "Well, you'll have to go in the hospital for another operation." So I thought, "It's all right. I'm doing no duties while I'm waiting to go in hospital." And I got chased all over the place by different sergeants to do this and do that. And so one day, some of these drill sergeants got me on parade, on a running across the field, over that fence and back. So I said, "No, I can't go over that fence. You go over that so-and-so fence," he says. I said, "You go over your so-and-so self." And the two men fall in back to the doctor. Doctor said, "Don't you ever bring that man back here to me." So of course, I got out of all parades in that place. Anyhow, I went.
What did you think of that sort of drill sergeant?
They were terrorists. Well, this old regimental sergeant major of ours, he said, "You wait till I get back to England." He said, "I'll give some of them something at this Northern Command, because they were to get you fit again to go out fighting. So they've never been out themselves, none of them."
So you didn't have a lot of respect for them?
Oh, nobody did. Nobody.
Were they good at their job in getting people fit?
Yes. Oh, I suppose they were, yes.
But your arm was just too bad to...
Oh, yes, well, I had it in a sling and everything. And yet they try. Yeah.
So you went back into hospital?
And I went back into hospital and, yes. And from there... I went before different boards and got discharged in the end. And that was it. I came out.
When you were, all this time you were wounded.
Yeah.
And you weren't quite sure whether you were having to go back or not.
No.
What was going on in your mind? Did you really, did you want to get back to the Western Front and fight? Or would you rather stay in the UK?
I wanted to stay.
You'd had enough?
Yes. Anyhow, the old regimental sergeant major that was out with us in Dillaply and France and all that, he came back to this Northern Command. And then he went back to the 2nd Battalion South Wales Borderers at Liverpool, where I was sent to get my discharge. And when I got Mrs. Sarge, he said, "What, you don't want to go into civil life, do you?" He said, "What have you got into civil life?" He said, "Stay on here," he says. And he said, "You can have three stripes and go in the order room out of the way."
It's So were you tempted to take him up on that, or did?
Oh no, I said no thanks. I've enough of army life. Well, you never knew. They might give you a cushy job in the ordinary room, but you never knew when they're going to shift you out, would you?
Did you have any sort of career in mind when you came out of the army?
Well, no, I knew that I was going back to the trade. Yeah. So I just went back to work, that's all.
And your arm wasn't that much of a problem to you?
Well, it gradually got better by working, yes.